Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
God has anointed his servant to bring us the word of God. Today's preacher is my very good friend. He is my younger brother. Hallelujah. Even though he's taller than me, but he is my younger brother.
And last Sunday, during the enthroned gathering, he said something that I want to rectify before he comes. You know, there are things that when he says he can do more than me, I will accept. He can preach better than me, I will accept. He can sing better than me, I will accept. But he said something last Sunday that I was not happy with. He says he's taller than me, I will accept. But he says that he can dance better than me. I don't think it's a good thing. Hallelujah. That one I will not accept. There are two things that I can do better than him. That is to dance better than him and to cook better than him. Put your hands together for me. Yeah. And Pastor Elvis is a good friend. We shared many memories together. A very anointed vessel, very, very deep into the things of God. And this morning, I want you to open your hearts and receive the word. You know, believe God that as you are living here, a word will touch your hearts that will bring an impartation to you. Shepherds for Restoration family, we want you to be on your feet as we give honor to whom honor is due. Let's welcome my brother, Pastor Elvis Kofi Miracle, to bring us the word. Hallelujah.
Do it better unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands together unto the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands to Him and bless His name? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
We have no power of our own.
Yes.
We have no power of our own. We depend. Hallelujah, we are the Lord. Sing it again and say, we have no power of our own.
Just lift your hands to the heavens, come on.
We have no,
no power.
We depend.
Holy Spirit, take preeminence over this atmosphere. As we are gathered before the Lord, we pray that you reveal yourself to us through your word. May your word have its free cost amongst us this morning. I pray, committing myself into your hands, that you use me as a vessel this morning to bring the engrafted word of God to your people. I pray that as they see me, may they see beyond me, Lord. May they see you. May they experience you. May they experience your power in the name of Jesus. Touch my tongue that I may bring a word in season to them that hear me this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you put your hands together unto the Lord? Unto the Lord, unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And take your seats in heavenly places. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I was trying to dodge, but there are seasons you can't dodge. Hallelujah. I was trying to run away from it, even as at yesterday night. But still, tell somebody, still. So this morning I'm here. And I want to, first of all, say that I apologize for how the service is about to go. So that when we finish, you won't come and tell me anything. I'm sure you were expecting the father of the house to bring you the word, and he's not here. So already you are disappointed. So I'm apologizing before. I'm encouraged. All right. And I want to thank God for my life and how far he has brought me. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, like, I wouldn't be here. Because I see many, many things, and I can see myself in them. Except that God delivered me and rescued me. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate God for his mercy and his kindness? Also, I want to thank God for the life of my pastor, the pastor over this commission, Pastor Johnny Awanyo. Let's appreciate the man of God. We are blessed to have him as our pastor, one who loves God and one who really has a shepherd's heart. And he has shepherded me for many, many years. And I can tell you that he is a true shepherd of the flock. Hallelujah. I also want to thank God for the life of Mama Dorothy. Mama D. Oh, are you appreciating a wonderful woman of God? A woman who is blessed with a spirit of excellence. And I always say that if you are doing something and Mama Dorothy is around, you know whether what you are doing is good or is not good. And if you are fast, when you know, then you know that you have to stop. You know, there are many times even the choir will be rehearsing. Then you say, ah, is that the song you are singing? Then you know that, hey, just say, Nkoye, rehearsals, Nkoye. Ah, but are you people? Then you know that, no. You know, then when you hear the good ones, you know that, ah, this one is true. Put your hands together for. Then also, I want to thank God for the life of my precious wife, Lady Franca, a wonderful woman, very precious, and I love her so much. Ever since she came into my life, yes, I wasn't like this before. Recently, somebody said, hey, Pastor, is that you? I said, yes. He said, you have changed though. I said, yes. Why would I change? I'm married to a woman who can cook. There were things that when I was in my mother's house, I said, mimpe, like okra stew. One day she did one for me. I said, hey, is that how it is? You know, but it's one of the things that I don't really take okra outside, but when she does the okra, there's some way somehow she's able to get me to eat the okra. And she's a good cook, a wonderful. She takes care of us. And she's a real blessing. Put your hands together for her. Then also, my younger brother. You know, he's my younger brother. I don't know why he has started this war. You know, he's my younger brother. I'm taller than him. I'm what? Bigger. Oh, okay. They've added some. The dancing that he's talking about, I'm wondering which type of dance. Anyway. Oh. As for cooking, I do it better more than him. And I've done it severally for him. Yes. One day I cooked rice with fried egg with a bit of pepper. When they tasted it with one of our other friends, Mark Jonas, Pastor Mark at home, I mean, they were very, very happy. They didn't want to go. They said they'll stay. I said, no, you have to go back. You know. But we share many memories together. Today, as we were coming, I was just remembering one time we were in school somewhere and we developed faith such that sometimes we go for evangelism. And when we are coming, we'll stop a car. Because when we go for the evangelism, it's very far. Sometimes you don't have money, but you have to go. So after walking and going, coming back, we apply faith. And we'll stop a car and tell the car that, listen, we are men of God. We are going here. Take us there. We'll pray for you. And many times it worked. But there was one evening, and that was what I remembered. This taxi driver said, no, you people, you will pay. Now I was trying to run away. He's also trying to run away. Because that day we were broke. There was no money. Hey, we said we'll pray for you. I said, no, I don't want prayer. Give me my money. And we were closer to the hostel. So we realized that this guy follows us to this place. I don't know what happened, but some way somehow, I think that because the guy was wild that day. You know, but we share many, many memories. You know, and it's a blessing. Put your hands together for Pastor James and his beautiful wife, Esther. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to speak on the subject, the Holy Spirit, our helper. The Holy Spirit, our helper. You know, in life, there are many important people in our lives. And these different people play important roles in our lives. So, give me some examples of important people in our lives. Like who? Your mother. Mothers are very, very special. That's why we have Mother's Day. Is that not so? Who else? We also have Father's Day. So, fathers are very, very important. Hallelujah. And that's why we also have Father's Day. Is that not so? What else? Who else? Our wives and husbands. These are all important people in our lives. And they play different roles. Our children, our pastors, very important. Today people criticize pastors a lot. So you may think that they are not important, but pastors are very important. Look at Jeremiah 3 verse 15. Let's see what it says. Jeremiah 3:15, it says, can we read together? And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will guide you with what? Knowledge and understanding. The word shepherd is translated pastors, appointment, a shepherd. And they are going to feed us with knowledge and what? Understanding, which means that pastors are very, very important in our lives. And that's why coming to church is very important, because whenever you gather, or whenever we gather, we have the opportunity to receive. Receive what? Knowledge and understanding for life. And I can boldly say that there are many understanding and knowledge I've received for life from the church. Not even from the house, from the church. And especially if you have a good pastor like our pastor, there are things you will hear that will transform you. There are things you will hear that will influence your decision. Hallelujah. There are things that your parents may not tell you, but if you have a good pastor, they will tell you. They will counsel you. They will rebuke you. They will correct you. They will direct you. Hallelujah. They will encourage you. There are many times you are done, you are very down, and you don't know who to call, but you remember that I have a pastor. And you call your pastor, and by the time he is done speaking to you, there is a certain strength that comes to you. So pastors are very, very important. Hallelujah. And God is saying that he's going to give you pastors according to his heart, who shall feed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. Another important person in our life are our bosses. Do you have a boss? Do you have a boss? I have a boss. A very wild boss. Hardworking. Yes. And why are they important? They decide a lot of things concerning us at the workplace. If your salary is not coming, who do you look to? Your boss. Because he will decide and give the go ahead that let their salaries go, or append his signature on the checks, or tell the accountant, okay, let it flow. If he doesn't give that instruction, nothing. And you'll be looking at him and say, hey, this man is 10th already. He's 15th. What's happening? So our bosses are very, very important. Hallelujah. And that's why wherever you work, make sure that you hold them in high esteem. You respect them. Follow their instructions. You see, when you are in good terms with your boss, there are a lot of things that can come to you. And I say that some important people in the workplace that are able to relate well with their bosses, it goes beyond salary. Yes. Recently at my workplace, one of the ladies was getting married, and I know my boss, she doesn't go out. She doesn't step out. No. She may support you, help you out, but for her to move and say, I'm coming for your function, no. But for this lady, she said, listen, Elvis, we are going to go for this. We are going to get a bus, the school buses, get them. We are going to get students to follow us to go. Why? Because this lady in question is somebody who has really worked hard in the institution. Very obedient, follows instruction, doesn't give problems. Yes, at all. If you are looking for teachers who give problems, she's not part. And as she said it, we went. Now, we contributed money as staff to support her. But the one she brought, the one the boss brought, was more than what we had contributed. And she added it to it and said, listen, let's bless this lady. So our bosses are very, very important. And if you are here, you work under a boss, I want to encourage you. Make sure that you obey and follow instruction and you are in the good books of your boss. Hallelujah. Now, we've mentioned a lot of important people. Doctors are very important. There are different people. Your landlord. Pastor James says his landlord. Very, very true. Very true. Charlie, your landlord can decide that you shouldn't stay in the house again. They can decide that you won't have peace again. And especially if you are in a good place and then your landlord starts giving you problems, then you are wondering, oh, where can I move to again? Landlords are very important. Hallelujah. Now, we have people we call destiny helpers. This group of people too are very important. Why do you think they are important? They help us to realize our destiny. And I'm sure the name or the term destiny came because when you come into contact with them, there is a change that happens to you that pushes you closer to that which you want to achieve or that which you are praying to achieve. Hallelujah. So you hear destiny helper. This man helped me. I was in a certain junction and I met this man and he helped me. And because of that, I'm able to do this or I've become this person. Sometimes you want to go to school, but there is no money. And then somebody comes and says, listen, I'm going to take you to school. I'm going to help you. I'm going to pay your school fees. You haven't done anything. He says, I'll pay your fees. And they pay. I know there are people who help you with strings attached, but there are people who can help you without any strings. They also exist. Hallelujah. So these people we call destiny helpers are people that come to help us to realize our destiny. And if you are here, you are praying that somebody like that will come your way. I pray that such a person will come your way in no time. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Amen. Now, as believers, You know, the call to be a believer is in twofold. It's a call to walk with God and the call to work with God. I'll say it again. The call as a believer is in twofold. A call to walk with God and then a call to work with God. Now, these twofold assignments are not possible based on our own strength. And so, God says, I'm going to help these people to be able to achieve this assignment so that they can be able to work with me, number one, and then they can be able to do what? To work with me. Now, working with God takes a lot of effort from us, and sometimes our efforts are fruitless. Do you agree with me? Sometimes our effort, we are striving, we are trying our best to work with God, and there are times you realize that no, it's not working. There are times you realize that no, I've done everything. There are times you want to pray, but you are not able to pray. There are many times we say we pray over food and other things. There are many times you've not prayed and you ate that food. So if really the devil wants to get you, then there are many times he will get you. Easy, cry. Are we on the same page? So the Holy Spirit has been sent to help you and I, because based on our strength, it's not going to be possible to walk this walk and to work this work. Hallelujah. As believers, we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill our divine mandates here on earth. Now, there's a statement that I've heard and I've come to accept it as truth. It says, and I'm sure our pastor has said it severally, you are as great as the help you receive. You are as great as the help you receive. For instance, on Sunday, we had a concert here. Imagine all the people who were playing the instruments were not playing. How then do I mount up to sing? Yes. And with the instruments, I don't have any idea about them. But all...
That's why it's good to come with the Bible. Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That you abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes people lose hope. They think that working in with God is not something that pays. You don't get anything. Times that you get to such a point where you feel like, what is all this? Because I've met people like that. Just yesterday, I was reading about a man who was even a preacher, a very wild preacher in Nigeria, who now says that he doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe all those things are whatever. Now, based on his story, he was hurt in church. There were different scenarios that played in church that have affected him. If these people who I even look up to can do this to me, then it means that this God thing is not true. Yes, and now he's a Rastafarian, and talks against the church, speaks against the church. Now, we are saying that, look at the scripture. It says that if you want to abound in hope, it's the Holy Spirit that is going to help you. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through what? The power of the Holy Ghost. So through the help that the Holy Spirit brings to us, there is a certain joy always in your heart whilst you are striving to walk with God. And that is why the Holy Spirit is an important helper that we cannot play with. And that's why Satan is making the church to forget about the Holy Spirit. Such that even when there are manifestations that should authenticate the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Christians doubt it. That's Satan's strategy. We doubt it, and once you doubt it, you can't receive. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to be able to walk with God and also to work with God. Today, even healing in church, and people, you see, I don't know about you, the first thing that comes, hey, have they not planned this thing for this guy to come and jump here and say that? Yes, that's Satan's strategy. So that you cannot accept the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to help us to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. To be able to keep your eyes fixed on Christ, to keep walking and walking, no matter the challenge, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to attempt to answer four questions before we close. Number one, we are going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. Number two, what are the functions of the Holy Spirit? Number three, why do we need the Holy Spirit? And number four, how can we get the best from the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? What are the functions of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? And how can we get the best from the Holy Spirit? Now, to answer question one, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And to understand this one, let's look at Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now take note of this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So take note of, and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God. So remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Now look at Genesis 6, verse 1 to 3. Genesis 6, 1 to 3. It says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now look at the verse. It says, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Spirit. All right. So in Genesis 1, we see, and the Spirit of the Lord. In chapter 6, we are seeing God say, my spirit. He makes reference to his spirit. Hallelujah. So yes, a little background. So God now finishes with creation. He creates man. Man sins, man falls, fellowship is broken. Then God begins a journey to restore man back to himself. Okay? Then, through that journey, God decides to use men. I'm talking on the subject, the Holy Spirit, our helper. God decides to use men. Now, we see periods where God uses people like Noah. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. Noah, Abraham. We see Isaac. We see Jacob. Then it opens up Jacob, who becomes Israel. Now we have the tribes of Israel. From there, God now begins to use judges. All right? Let's look at Judges 2, verse 16.
Judges 2, verse 16.
It says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. So, during this period, the Israelites were under a lot of trouble, where because they stopped walking with God, they were following other gods and stuff. And so God sent some of their enemies to do what? To punish them. And sometimes it took a lot of years. They are punished. And then they cry to God. Then God will raise a judge. Now, we are going to take note of something. When God raises the judges,
that he used in those periods. There was something distinct that helped these judges to be able to lead the people of Israel out of those bondages and those struggles. So, the first judge that came was Othniel. In Judges 3, chapter 3, 9 to 10. Let's read about him. So it says, "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." Look at verse 10. "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Remember, I told you that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to establish. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel so that what? He judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against that king. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Remember, the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us to do what? To walk with God and to do what? To work with God. So we see Othniel being helped by the Spirit of the Lord to be able to do what? To work the work that God wanted him to do. To lead Israel. To be able to help them to overcome the enemy that was fighting them at the time. Now let's take note again. Let's look at Gideon. Judges 6:34. NLT. I like how the NLT put it. "Then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon." And let's see what happened. "He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him." Because the Spirit of God was upon him, he blew a horn and men started gathering. So that the assignment for which God has called Gideon will be achieved. Are you there? Let's look at another judge. Jephthah. Still in the NLT. Jephthah. Judges 11:29. Follow me closely. It says, "At that time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah." So you see again, the Spirit. So these people were called at different times. And the distinct feature is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Which means that without the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you and I, or coming upon them, the purposes for which they were called was not going to be possible. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he went throughout the land of Gilead and Manasseh, including Mizpah in Gilead. From there, he led an army. So you can see Jephthah also leading an army. Why is it so? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's look at Samson. Judges 13:25. "And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. We see him again working here. Remember, I said that God is trying to restore man back to himself. And he starts picking people. Picking people. And when he picks them, he doesn't leave them. His Spirit comes upon them, and then they are able to achieve that which he wants them to achieve. So Samson was stirred up by the Spirit of God, and he did many things. In Judges 14:6, you see him deal with a lion as if it was a fowl or a chicken. Why? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Look at that. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaw. Man, lions are very strong. Yes. And for a man to be able to deal, look at what the word, he ripped the lion's jaw apart with his bare hands. I mean, if you are told that you are going to fight a lion, do you think you will go without a weapon? Oh, I'm asking, will you go without a weapon? I'm sure the things you will take, you ask them, "Charlie, what are some of the weapons available?" A gun, because you don't want the lion to even come close. But look at Samson. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He picks up a lion and rips the lion apart with his bare hands. Now, why is it so? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. And who is the Spirit of the Lord? The Holy Spirit. Oh, I didn't hear. Who is the Spirit of the Lord? Hallelujah. Now, another thing that I want us to know about the Holy Spirit quickly is that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And when we say the Godhead, we are talking about the Trinity, which many people have issues with. But it's from the scriptures. Colossians 2:9. King James. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he's talking about Jesus Christ. That in Christ Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Now the Godhead is made of three distinct features. God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John 5 verse 7. Are you following? 1 John 5 7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Who are these three? Let's mention them together. The Father, the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ. John 1. Right? All right. And then the last person over there is who? The Holy Ghost. And he says, these three are one. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Now look at 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14, which we have said many, many times. Can we say it together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what? Communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Wow. So we see the Holy Ghost being part of the Godhead. Matthew 28:19. These are important truths that we need to know as Christians, else our walk with God will be fruitless. And the joy that will propel us to walk with God won't be there. And that's why sometimes we get to a place and we wish we'll go back, but you know you can't go back. But to be able to prevent that, you have to be able to accept what is help that is available to you that you have not received. Help is available to you, but you haven't received it. If I stretch forth my hand to give you something and you don't receive it, you can't use it. If I'm giving you a phone and you don't receive the phone, you can't use the phone. You can admire it, you can talk about it, but if you don't receive the phone, put in your SIM and activate it and use it, you will not benefit from it. And that's the position of most of us Christians. We are not accepting the help that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit. And even if we are not doing so at a certain level. So there are many things that we don't receive. And this morning I'm here to remind you that let's not forget the helper that has been sent to us. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of who? The Holy Spirit. We cannot downplay the essence of the Holy Spirit in this work. Hallelujah. Now, let us understand the function of the Holy Spirit. So we are answering question two now. What are his functions? We can analyze the functions of the Holy Spirit by looking at how he worked in the lives of those who received him. Hallelujah. Before the period of silence, after Malachi, period of 400 years, there was silence. Now, this silence meant a lot. But before then, there were two prophecies that were released. Take note of the two prophecies. The first one was that a virgin was going to conceive, and that virgin will give birth to a son. And I'm sure you know the garment shall be upon his shoulders, it shall be called Emmanuel. That was a major prophecy that was released before Malachi and that period of silence. Another prophecy that was released is in Joel. Joel 2:28. Where the prophet Joel says that God is telling me something. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, take note that before this season, the spirit of God just comes, uses one person, and then away. That's why we were able to discover all the people that the spirit of the Lord came upon. And we saw Othniel, we saw Samson, we saw Gideon and the rest. The spirit comes upon them, then it's lifted. It comes upon them, then it's lifted. Now, Joel is saying that a time is coming and God is speaking. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So God says that he is going to do a new thing. Instead of the spirit just coming upon one person and going, the spirit is going to be poured upon all flesh. And he asks Joel to proclaim this prophecy. After Joel and the rest, Malachi, there was silence. Take note of the two prophecies. Jesus will come. That's Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 11:1 and 3. Now, Jesus comes into the scene. Fast forward, Matthew 1:22-23. Then John the Baptist is going to say something about Jesus. Look at Matthew 3:11. He says, John is speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the what? The Holy Ghost. And with what? Fire. John is saying, I have been sent to baptize you. I'm baptizing you with water, water, water. But somebody is going to come. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. So, we see Jesus come operating under the power of the word, the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with what? With the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. A sign that God is with you is when you are under the power of the Holy Ghost. When you do your things under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's a walk and then it's a work. So Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Because why? The first point, the Holy Ghost. God has anointed him with the Holy Ghost with power. So if you want to see certain things in your life, then it's important that you recognize the power that the Holy Spirit brings to you. Without this, the walk with him will just be a fruitless walk. You can call yourself a believer, but what shows that you are a believer? Because if you look through the Bible, anybody that identified himself as a believer, you could see the works that they were working. A man of God recently said that, I don't know the type of Holy Ghost that the Christians of today are receiving. That when they sleep, and they have a bad dream and they wake up, they are afraid, they are scared. Yes, a very senior man of God. He said he doesn't understand, because he was making reference that when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a certain zeal, there was a certain strength beyond your own strength. There was a certain strength, there was a certain faith. Something that stirs you up to be able to do that which God has ordained you to do. And here is Jesus going about making sure that his mandate and his mission is fulfilled. Why? Because God had anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Could it be that you are not receiving this help from him? A little challenge and then you are confused. A little opposition and then you are moved. Could it be that the help that the Holy Ghost is bringing to you, you have not recognized and you have also not accepted it? Here is Jesus. And I'm going to show you how Jesus waited to be anointed of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus lived, he started his ministry at age 30. He waited for the Holy Ghost to come upon him so that he can fulfill his mandate. Look at Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And what happened? And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And then a voice came. And what did the voice say? Thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. Look at that. This statement came after the Holy Ghost had come upon Jesus. Now God says, you are my beloved son. There's a difference. After the Holy Ghost descended upon him, the voice now comes. And the voice says, this is my beloved son. Listen, walking under the power of the Holy Spirit makes you become a beloved son of God. You didn't hear that. I said, walking under the power of the Holy Spirit makes you become a beloved son or daughter of God. That is what changes it. It changed our equation here. There were other people that were being baptized. But when Jesus was being baptized and praying, the Bible says, the heaven opened. The Holy Ghost descended, and then the voice came. So there are many things that you can do, but you are not able to do because you have not allowed yourself to be commissioned by the Holy Spirit and to come under his influence. The Holy Spirit is just around. He's with you. But you have not accepted and even recognized his help. And so things are the way they are. You know, there are many things. Let's just go to John 14. The time is almost about. Go to John 14. All right. So quickly, because Jesus was helped by the Holy Spirit, he realized that we cannot do it on our own. Without the input. Because imagine Jesus himself allowing himself to receive, to be endowed with power from on high, so that he can fulfill both his work and his work here, his mission. How about you and I? So Jesus says in John 14, go to verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, the word over there, another comforter, is the word, the helper. And Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Go to verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. He calls him the Spirit of truth. Now, he uses the word comforter. And comforter is translated in the Greek, because the New Testament was written in Greek, as the Parakletos. Parakletos, the Parakletos, meaning an intercessor. He's our advocate. An advocate is like a lawyer, one who defends you. So the Holy Spirit is like someone who defends you as a Christian. He's our assistant, someone who has been sent to assist us. Now, this word Parakletos comes from the verb parakalio, okay, which means to call alongside and to summon for help. So the word parakletos, which means the helper, is coming from the verb parakalio, which means to walk alongside and then to also summon for help. I need two people. Julius, come. You need to come. So here is Julius. He is a believer. Now, Christ says this guy is going to achieve a lot of things. I've called him. He's a normal, he doesn't have to be a pastor, a bishop or whatever. He's a normal Christian. But every Christian has an assignment over his or her life. Now, Christ says that I'm going, but I'm going to send him, Parakalio, to call alongside, to summon for help. And he's supposed to help him to achieve. So come, as Julius is moving, he has help. As he's moving, he has help. But the question is, will he be able to receive that help will he avail himself to receive that help that the Holy Spirit has been summoned? And that is the level of most of us. We have help, but we are not receiving that help. We have help. I'm saying that when you recognize that help, there are many things that you will be stirred up by the Holy Spirit to do. It's not everything that will cause fear and panic in your heart. Because you know that greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. If you are clapping, do it better. Help is available. Listen, the message may not be for everybody, but God told me that the message is for some people here. And from today, your life is going to be transformed if you can only understand this. Christians, we don't work with understanding. We behave anyhow. And that is why the devil is taking over. You are a Christian, but the devil can show up in your house. And you cannot stand up and say, greater is he that is in me, and face the devil. The devil tries to snatch your child. You can't wake up. There were many times when Arela was young, sometimes she'd be crying at dawn. I said, no, the devil is a liar. Not here. Because you don't even understand why she is crying. Yeah, there was no fear in the house at all. Because I knew strongly that God was with us. And the Holy Spirit is present to help me. He is my assistant. He has been called to assist me. I can't do it on my own. Look at Romans 8 verse 26. It says the Spirit helps our infirmities. He helps our weaknesses. I don't know if you have any weakness, but the Spirit helps. The Spirit helps. I don't know what is drawing you away from the Lord, but the Spirit helps. And as I speak right now, I sense the Spirit helping you. He's helping you to overcome that which the devil has sent your way. That which you are struggling with, the Holy Spirit from today is going to help you to overcome it. Shout a big amen. He is our helper. He is our advocate, the defender. He defends you. There are many things you don't see, but he's there to defend you. There are many arrows that flies by day. Arrows that fly by night. But the Holy Spirit is there as a shield and a defense for you. And I'm saying that there are many things that if you will only recognize and accept the help. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord comes over your life, there are many things that changes. We see Saul, when the Spirit came upon him, Bible says he became another man. He received help. The Spirit transformed him. 1 Samuel 10, 5 to 11. When you have time, you read. Peter, in Mark 14, was denying Jesus. He denied him 3 times. But after Acts 2, here is Peter rising up to say, hear ye men of Israel. This same Peter that was scared of a small girl. Who said, I know you. Are you not part of the disciples of Jesus? Are you not Peter? He said, no. He said, me. If you don't stop that thing, you see what I'll do to you. This same Peter, a small girl. He ran away for his life. 3 times. Not even once. 3 times. This same Peter, in Acts 2, after Jesus told them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, this same Peter rises up to address the people that have come. He was addressing all the men of Israel. He said, hear ye men of Israel. He was addressing them. Where did that boldness come from? I'm asking you, where did that boldness come from? Sometimes you say evangelism and you are scared. And you go, you don't know what to say. Listen, if you can receive the help that comes from the Holy Ghost, the next time we say there is evangelism, you'll see that you come with a certain boldness. And you will not be like Peter, hiding. Look at Acts 4, verse 30. And I'm ending. Acts 4, 30. Now when they saw the what? When they saw the what? The boldness. Because Acts chapter 2 has already happened. where the Holy Ghost came upon them. Listen, let me even tell you, when they were in the upper room, they were hiding. They were hiding. People think they were there waiting for the Holy Ghost. They were hiding because they will kill them. Yes, they will kill them. So whilst they, because it was a festival season, how come they are hiding in an upper room? I mean, you don't go for a festival to go and hide. But they were hiding. But when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they broke loose from the upper room and came down. And Peter addressed all of them. After addressing them, they are saying that now when they saw the boldness, do you need boldness? The Holy Spirit. They realized that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Wow. And they marveled. Something was happening. They marveled. They said, no, this guy, I'm going to go to school there. Listen, there is no limitation to what the Holy Spirit can do through you. This is somebody's word. There is no limitation to what the Holy Spirit can do. There is no limitation. There's no limitation. Hallelujah. There's no limitation. Let me finish up. Jesus was called a son of a carpenter. But when the Holy Spirit came, there was no limitation. The change agent in all the lives of these people is the Holy Spirit. The one who has been sent to help us to walk this walk and to work this work. He has been sent to be our guide. He has been sent to be our partner. He has been sent to be our aid. He has been sent to be our collaborator. He has been sent to be our assistant, our advocate, and then our intercessor. That's why there are many times you just sense that you should pray. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there are many times you don't know what to pray, but you just sense. And if you can pray in the language of the Spirit, you see that you just start praying, and you don't know why you are praying. He's an intercessor. He's dealing with an issue through you. So all that moment, you don't know why, you don't know what at all, but he is an intercessor. And so at that moment, he's stirring you up to pray, to avert something or to enforce something. So there are many times you feel like that. Don't suppress it. You have to rattle it out. 5 minutes, let's just pray in the language of the Spirit right now.
Balavadi, Sevele Gedaya, Matalabra Belebelebe,
Calabra Babaya, Shatalabra Babai, in the name of Jesus. Now, because of time, let me end. Let's look at Acts 2, verse 37. I'm ending. The same power that worked in Peter. Now, look at what Peter is telling them. After he had addressed them and everything, look at what he's going to tell them. He says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Look at Peter, who was timid. After preaching, people are pricked in their heart. If you want your evangelism to be effective, you need the Holy Ghost. Because when he comes and you speak, people will be pricked in their hearts. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Next verse. So they asked, what shall we do? I want us to read it together. So 38 and 37.
All right. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift. You shall receive the word. So it's a gift. It's a gift that has been given to us. The help that will enable us to walk with him and to work with him is a gift. Now look at 39. For the promise. I told you Joel prophesied it in 2:28. That it shall come to pass in the last days I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now look at what he says. He says, for the promise is to you and to all your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is to you. At the time, he was speaking to them, to their children. Maybe we are not part of that group. Now look at what it says. And to all that are what? Are far off, which includes you and I. And it says that as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the helper who has been sent to help you and I has been fulfilled. The question is, are you receiving that help? Lift up your hands to him and begin to pray and say, Holy Spirit, from today, I avail myself to recognize your help. To recognize your help and to receive it. Yes, Lord. Shala brake beta saprada babai. There are a lot of things we can say about him, but this is just something to stir you up on an adventure to receive and to know him. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me. From today, I open up my heart to receive the help. Fire never so far, neno sahaya de das. Raka pasha dala bragaba. Holy Spirit, help me. Jesus was helped. We saw men from the Old Testament that were helped by the Spirit of God. We saw the apostles receiving help. And they became transformed such that they were not people that they could recognize again. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Here is my life. I've walked many years, but today I open up my heart to receive the help. From today, I will recognize you. It starts from an unconscious state until you come to a point where you even become very conscious of him. He is our advocate. He is our help. He is our aid, our counselor, our comforter. Follow Marco Shada Bradabaya. Help is coming. Help is coming. Reko Pashaya Dabaya. Mandela Braka Pashata. Fire Bradababaya. Lo Mandela Lebe. We have no power of our own. We have no we depend. Rise to your feet, come on.
We have no
have
this morning, we avail ourselves to receive help from you. We know that when you come into our lives, we are never the same again. From today, we recognize that without you, it's not going to be possible to walk this walk and to work the works that you have called us to do. The word says, greater works than these shall we do. But we recognize that without your help, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be possible. With our hands lifted, we say we receive help from above. Help in the different areas of our lives. May we see and embrace the help that comes from you. Thank you, Spirit of God. Rest over our heads, over the lives gathered here this morning. Rest over each and every one of us. From today, may our Christian lives be transformed. From today, may our walk with you be transformed. May our lives as believers not be the same again. In the name of Jesus, from today, let it be said that how God anointed us with the Holy Ghost and with power, that we went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God is with us. We've seen how you've used men over the years. Lord, we know that it's only possible by your mighty Holy Spirit. That vision that is in our hearts, Lord, we pray that you stir up that vision by the power of your mighty Holy Spirit. In our marriages, in our ministries, in our businesses, whatever concerns us, Lord, may we see the help of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I declare that that thing that is not working will work again. I declare that that thing that is not working will work again. Why will it work? Because the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, for ye shall be endued with power from on high when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This morning, may the Holy Ghost come upon us. That thing works again. That thing that is dead comes alive again. You are receiving newness of life in the name of Jesus. You are receiving wisdom, understanding in the name of Jesus. You are receiving direction concerning the thing that you are confused about, because the Holy Ghost comes with the dose of help. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We call it done. Now, if you are here, you are not born again. The Spirit of the Lord cannot rest upon you. But this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Him. And you want to say, dear preacher, this morning I want to give my heart and my life to Christ. Why don't you lift up your hand so that I can pray with you? Yes. If you're also watching online, you can lift up your hands wherever you are. And let us pray as the church joins. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this afternoon, I surrender my life to you. Say, Jesus, come and live in my heart. Jesus, from today, I believe in you. I will walk with you in the name of Jesus. Say, Heavenly Father, help me to be able to walk as a Christian. As I have surrendered my life to you, please help me to walk with you. Help me to love you. Help me to serve you in the name of Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, come and live in my heart. Help me to walk this walk. And help me to achieve that which concerns my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say a big amen. Somebody put your hands together unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.